today is taken out of the book of Ezra. Ezra, his name signifies helper. Ezra, from the 7th chapter that was read, we find that he was a priest and that he could trace back his genealogy to Aaron, the first priest that God gave unto the children of Israel. He was a son of Zeriah, according to this 7th chapter. Zeriah was a priest who had been slain by Nebuchadnezzar 130 years back. This chapter says that he was a son of Zeriah. The commentary says possibly he was a grandson of this priest, being this man had died 130 years ago. This Ezra, he was a ready scribe. He was a man that was gifted with wisdom and understanding, and he was likewise gifted with an insight in the truths of God's word. And he was ready to instruct and to teach the people out of the law of God. He was then a good teacher. He should be here this afternoon, I think. He would make a better job of it than I'm going to do. Now, this man Ezra, according to the Jewish history, he comprised all the books that had been written before and went over them all, the books of the Bible. And he took all the errors out of them and put them in its right place. This man Ezra, he was well liked and admired by the Jewish people. In fact, they claim him to be the second Moses. That's how much they esteemed him for the work that he did for the Jewish race. The Jewish people, they were carried away captive and dwelling in this place called Babylon. We don't read any more of how they lived and what was mostly comprised of what they did and how they worshiped God in Babylon. They had no more king. They still had two prophets amongst them, Ezekiel and Daniel. They remained with them in the captivity, and they were used for their reestablishment as a nation. But they had no more kings, and gradually the spirit of prophecy was withdrawn from them likewise, until the great prophet Christ Jesus came. These people, they were in captivity. They had no temple to worship in. They had no altar to offer up sacrifices on. And when they attempted to sing some of the songs of Zion, as we just sang, why, they were mocked. They were ridiculed by the people who were their captors. These people then, they were dwelling in captivity under a promise. They had hopes that they would in due time, according to the word of God given by the mouth of Jeremiah, be delivered, and therefore they were united together as a people. They kept their families together. They kept their religion together. They did not go back to idolatry while they were in Babylon. And these people then, the Israelites, they were looking forward to be delivered, to be set free. This book, Ezra, comprises in the first place how that they were brought out of captivity. In the second place, it gives us an explanation of how that they began to build the temple and the opposition that was met with them in building this temple. So then we have in the 6th and the 7th chapters and the 8th chapters about Ezra, how that he was given to go up to the city of Jerusalem, and he found that these people that dwelt there had intermingled with the heathens round about, and he made them he made them leave their wives who were heathens, and this was for the good of the Jewish nation. This book then, Ezra, tells us in the first place about how that the Jews were delivered out of captivity. The word of God says, in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, according to the word of the Lord given by Jeremiah, Cyrus made a proclamation that the Lord God of heaven had commanded him that he should build a house to Jerusalem. The Jerusalem was the city where God dwelt, and it seems that this Cyrus had some intimation that this God was the true God, and that these people, the Jews, were his chosen people, and therefore that this God was to be worshipped in Jerusalem. And now he made a proclamation that they were to go up to this city, Jerusalem, and to build a house unto the Lord God who dwelt at Jerusalem. God had commanded him to do this. How that God had revealed this to him, the scripture does not give us any account. Whether he had a dream, whether he had it by vision, Scott, one of the commentaries, says he believes that Daniel, who was in the court of Cyrus, he brought before him the writings of Isaiah. 200 years before, Isaiah had proclaimed that God would raise up a man by the name of Cyrus. And Isaiah spoke about this king, and this chapter probably, Scott says, this man Daniel pointed out to Cyrus that the time was now that he should do as God had prophesied of him. Whether this is true or not, we know not. But anyway, he proclaimed a proclamation that these people, they should go up to Jerusalem to build a house unto the Lord God of Jerusalem. So in his proclamation, he not only spake it out, but he gave it out in writing. He sent it out to all the provinces throughout his dominion. For he says, the Lord God of heaven and earth hath given unto me all the kingdoms of the earth. And now, in gratitude to God, who had given him all these kingdoms, he issued this proclamation for the Jews. Now, this man, Cyrus, he was a son of Cambyses. Cambyses was married to Mandame, who was a daughter of the king of Persia. The king of Persia at that time was Darius. This boy was born unto these two people, and they seen to it that he had a good education. When he was 12 years of age, his mother brought him unto her father, who was the king, Darius. She brought him into the court, and he had such a bright and an intelligent look upon his face, and he was so friendly and so good to the people that were around about the king that they all fell in love with him. He was such a nice young boy, and they took to him. And now this young boy, when he got to be older, when he was 40 years of age, he was the commander of the army of his uncle Darius. He took 30,000 troops, and he destroyed the Arminians who had revolted against his uncle Darius, and he subdued them. But now the king of Babylon, he arose with his great army to fight against the Persians and the Medes, against Darius and against this young ruler, or rather the general of the army, Cyrus. And this army of the Babylonians was so great that it appeared that it was going to swallow up this army of Cyrus and Darius. But it pleased God to make Darius and his uncle a victor over the Babylonians, which likewise had been prophesied of by Jeremiah that God would visit the Babylonians for what they were doing unto the Israelites. They took in then the whole Babylonish empire, the Cyrus and Darius. And after 2 years of having this great empire, why, Darius, the king of the Medes and of the Persians, he died. And this Cyrus, he had married this Darius's only daughter. And this made him fall heir to the kingdom. So he became king, Cyrus, over an immense number of kingdoms. He says here, God has given unto me all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, this wasn't true. He wasn't over all the kingdoms of the earth. He meant by this that God had given unto him all the kingdoms that Nebuchadnezzar had reigned over. And Daniel had said that he reigned unto the ends of the earth, this Nebuchadnezzar. So he was then a mighty king over a great number of nations. God had given him this, and now in gratitude to God, he proclaims that the Jewish people who were captives and who were dwelling in Babylon, that they were set at liberty. They were free then to go up to the city of Jerusalem, the place which God dwelt in, and there they were to build him a temple. And anyone who felt in their very hearts that God wanted them to go up there, why then they were to go. And anyone that didn't go, they were to help them that did go. They were to give them gold and silver and things necessary for them to use to build this temple and to dwell at Jerusalem. So this proclamation Darius issued in the first year of his reign. You can imagine what this must have been to these Jewish people. They had been hoping and waiting and expecting for this, and now it came. They then were set at liberty. They were free. They were allowed then to go back to the city of Jerusalem. And we read that some of the ancient fathers immediately arose, and a great number of them whose heart and spirit the Lord raised up, they immediately began to make preparations to go. So we find that even the king himself, he who gave this proclamation, that he favored likewise these people in giving them the gold and silver and the things necessary too. So we have here then the Jewish people being liberated in the kingdom of Babylon. These Jewish people, you would think that every one of them would be ready to go. Every one of them would be anxious to leave and go. But if we consider this a little bit, we will find that the contrary is different. We find that these people, they had been in this place 70 years. That's a long time. Considering then if they had dwelt there 70 years, many of those that were living at this time had never seen the city of Jerusalem. They had never seen the temple. They had never worshipped God in a temple. There was no temple in Babylon for them to worship in. So they had no, what we would have, we love America. We were born here and we are for our country. But they weren't for this country. They weren't born there. They were born in Babylon. They were Jews, but they had no attachments whatsoever for the city of Jerusalem, for the temple that was there, and for the worship that was there. Only those that were old, that were above 70, we would say, they had their spirits stirred up, and they remembered how they had went up to the temple of Jerusalem and how that they had worshipped God there. It was by the Spirit of God that many of them were wrought upon. God caused the spirit of Cyrus to be raised up to make this proclamation. So he raised up the spirit of many of these ancient Jewish people who had been in Jerusalem to arise and to go. these people that were younger, they were all established in this country. They had houses there, they had positions there, they had friends there, their children had connections in this country, and now they were Jews. But, yeah, to go back to Jerusalem, this was a 4-month, almost a 5-month journey. It was a long distance away. And then, if they did go, it was a question whether they would be able to build this temple again, because there was many enemies dwelling around about the city of Jerusalem, and they probably would have a lot of opposition. You see, these people, they had no attachment whatsoever. Their spirits had been not raised up by God. They began to consider the things in this light, and many of them, they refused to go the first time. They stayed in Babylon. Considering these people, these Jewish people, and considering the proclamation that Cyrus made, according to the Persians, Cyrus's name meant the sun in heaven. And now he is pronounced likewise as the man that brought light and healing unto the church of God by liberating the Jewish people. He is an eminent type of the precious Christ, the Son of Righteousness, at the right hand of God. His name also signifies Father. And this way, he is also a type of Christ who is also called the Father. This man then, he gave a proclamation. Everybody now didn't receive that proclamation. Only those whose hearts were stirred up by the Spirit of God and who overcame all these difficulties that these other people were thinking about and meditating upon. They had a true desire to be in Jerusalem, to build a temple, to have a place to worship God. This was the main thing that had these people had in their hearts. God gave them this. Rather than stay in Babylon and have no temple and have no worship and have no God to go to and no altars to offer sacrifices on, they would go back to Jerusalem. God gave them this. Now, many of these Jewish people, as I've been explaining to you, are a type of so many people in this world at the present time. God has come forth likewise with a wonderful proclamation of love, of mercy, of grace. All he proclaims by the mouth of ministers and by his written word, that he has no delight in the death of any one of us, but therein that we turn and live. And whosoever cometh unto me, Jesus has said, he will in no wise cast out. This proclamation, this word of salvation, comes to you at the present time, my hearers. It has come to you probably all your life long. This proclamation came to the Jewish people too. And as I said, so many, they remained in Babylon. They didn't accept this proclamation in their hearts. God did not stir up their spirits to go back. And so they remained in Babylon. Oh, so many of you and so many people in this world have heard this proclamation. And they likewise are so attached to the world, to its pleasures, to the things that they have in this life. They are attached to their homes. They are attached to the place of employment. Their children dwell around them and they have connections. And now when this proclamation comes, and in this proclamation it means that you have to leave everything. These Jews had to leave Babylon. They had to go up to a city that was in ruins. There was nothing there. Everything was desolate. Everything was waste. And so when this proclamation comes in the gospel, it comes to us too. that we must forsake all and leave all. And oh, so many stop to consider. They know and they believe that what God says is true, but oh, they love their sin. They love this world. They love the pleasures of it. They are attached to so many things in this life. And now to leave everything, to give heed to this proclamation, no. They would rather go on sinning and rather die in their sins than listen to this wonderful proclamation that God comes forth with. Of this man Cyrus, he proclaimed it with his mouth, and he proclaimed it in writing so that it would go throughout all his provinces. God has done the same. God has given us a ministry, and God has given us his word. And this word has went out to the ends of the earth, and it is still going out. And now this man Cyrus, he said that God had commanded him that he should build a house to Jerusalem. So God has commanded his dear son to build him a house here in this lower world, his church. And according to this commandment, this proclamation is still being brought forward to every one of us, even in this little place. All my hearers, these Jewish people then, that were stirred up by God and by his blessed spirit, they arose. This Zerubbabel and Jeshua and some of the ancient men, they immediately arose, and so many of them gathered with them to go. And now these men, these ancient men, they were filled with love and affection for God and for his service and for his worship. They had everything over for it. At the present time, their hearts were stirred up for this. Now let me ask you, has God ever stirred up your spirit? Has he ever given you to hear the proclamation of the gospel? Has it ever come to you in accents of love? Has it ever moved you to say within your soul, come what may, I will go. Whether I ever get to this heavenly Jerusalem or not, I know not. But I can't go on any longer. I can't stay in this world. I can't be a sinner and serve the world and serve the devil and serve the flesh. I must arise. Has this ever come home to your heart? Has there been a day of power in your life that you were given to leave and to forsake everything? Or you may be meeting much trouble, much opposition. There may be many things that are opposing you in your travels, and many things discourage you. But let me say, as the word of God says, lift up your heads, ye that are so discouraged and so bowed down, your redemption draweth nigh. You have a faithful God that is leading you, and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will bring you into that heavenly Jerusalem. He will free you from all sin and from all the lust and the passions and the desires of sin. Oh, you are traveling to a wonderful place. For these men had their spirits stirred up, and I wish that God would stir up every one of your spirits that you may be given to leave and to forsake all things for Jesus Christ and his full and his free salvation. And now we find that Cyrus, likewise, he offered unto the Jews much gold and much silver so that they could set forth this work of building this house to Jerusalem. It was to be the house of God. You know, when you read this, you would think really that this man, Cyrus, he must have been wrought upon by the Spirit of God. But according to the commentary and according to history, this was not the case with this man. He never forsook his idolatry. And we have no account thereof that we would have a favorable thought of the man, that he was a child of God. Still, God uses kings even, and men in this world, for the benefit of his church. The hearts of kings are in the hands of God, and so this king's heart was in God's hand, and he issued this proclamation. And we find that this king, Cyrus, he likewise brought out all the vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple to Jerusalem. All the gold and silver vessels that were used in the service of God, he had taken, Nebuchadnezzar, and carried them to Babylon, and he had placed them in the house of his God. What a wonder they weren't destroyed, that they weren't mingled with other vessels, that he didn't melt the gold or the silver and make something else out of it. God's wonderful providence over these vessels that were used in the service of God back to Jerusalem. So God takes care of every living vessel of mercy that he has in this world, my hearers. They are under his immediate care and providence. And he will carry them just as this Shesbazar you read of. Shesbazar means Zerubbabel. His name in the Chaldean language is Shesbazar, but the Jews, they called him Zerubbabel. This king, he gave all these vessels to this Shesbazar to carry up from Babylon to Jerusalem. And so God has given his living vessels into the hands of that great Zerubbabel, Jesus Christ, who will lead them into that heavenly Jerusalem above. Oh, what a blessing if we may be one of these living vessels. Are you anxious about it? Are you concerned about it? Would you like to know whether you are one of them or not? Are you praying and asking God to make it known to you that you may have a sure token that you are one of them? Oh, how anxious you would be, my hearers, if you had experienced a day of power in your very soul. This would be your question and your prayer coming up to the house of God every Lord's Day. Oh, make it plain, Lord. Give me a witness again. Give me to believe that you have a favor towards me. Oh, what a mercy to have this, my hearers, in this life. And this king then, he supplied all the vessels, and they were taken up to the city of Jerusalem. And now we find in the next chapter, the second chapter of the book of Ezra, a register of all the names of the families and how many there were in each family that went up with these ancient men to Jerusalem. A number of them. According to the account of the commentary, there were 42,350 people that left Babylon to go back to Jerusalem. This was double the number that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive. Double it. As you know, down in the land of Egypt, these Jewish people, the Israelites, they multiplied exceedingly. That even the king, he wanted that they would destroy all the men children that were born, Pharaoh. So likewise, these people in captivity, the Lord blessed them, and they multiplied exceedingly, so that when they went back, there were 42,350 Jewish people. It wasn't so many to start a nation with, but this was the multitude that went back. You read their names in the second chapter of the book of Ezra. They are written there because of their faith, because of their courage, because that they were wrought upon to go back. God has placed their names in this book for that reason. God has likewise placed the names of everyone whose spirit has been raised up in this life to hear the proclamation of the gospel. Their names are written in a better book than this, my hearers. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be obliterated, never to be taken out. Oh, precious are they whose names are in this book, for we read thereof, that everyone whose name was not found in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone. Precious thought, my hearers. Are you anxious to know whether your name is in this Book of Life or not? Are you ever exercised about it? Think of it. If it's not there, what your end will be, my hearers. Terrible, terrible it shall be to be cast out into outer darkness and to burn forever under the wrath and indignation of God. We find then that these Jewish people, they came to Jerusalem, and within a period of 6 months in the second year after they came there, then we find that they all gathered together as one man in the city of Jerusalem. They gathered there because of these leaders, Zerubbabel and Jeshua and others, had built an altar so that they would bring their sacrifices to sacrifice unto God. And they offered many sacrifices upon this altar. They were in fear all the time of the enemies round about them. And then after this we find that another 6 months took place, and they built the foundation of the temple to Jerusalem. This was an immense work, my hearers. The temple was in ruins. Everything was destroyed. They had to clear the grounds, and they had to begin anew to lay a foundation for this temple. And when they had completed the foundation of this temple, then they held a dedication for this. The people were all called together to view the foundation. And now when they saw what this was going to be, so many of them had never been in a temple, so many never had a temple to worship in, those that seen what it was going to be, they shouted for joy. They were so happy that God had given them to lay the foundation. They already seen in their imagination the temple built, and they began to shout for joy. But there were older ones there who had seen the other temple. And when they seen this foundation, they began to weep. They began to cry. There was a mixture here of joy and of sorrow. Now the foundation was just as large as the foundation was when Solomon commenced to build it. But these elder people, they remembered what was in this former temple. And this, what was in that temple, would never be in this temple. The ark, the hangings, the cherubims, the fire that was burning, which God himself had ignited, the presence of God had been in the temple of Solomon. And these elderly ones, they began to weep and they began to cry when they thought, what will this temple be? There was then a mingling of joy and of grief and of sorrow. This, my hearers, is a type of this world. There are some people that are lifted up with joy, with happiness. Oh, they are lifted up to the heights, we would say, in this world. So many have it so good. So many have been blessed abundantly. So many have riches and things that others don't have. And these, they are lifted up with joy. Then there are others who likewise are having so many trials, so many tribulations, so many pains, so many sorrows. They live a life of weeping. all my hearers, in heaven there will never be anything but a shouting of joy. And in hell, there'll be nothing else but wailing and weeping forever and ever. Here at this foundation, there were two kinds of people who were crying and who were shouting for joy. Oh, my hearers, what a mercy is in this life. We know something about joy and we know something about sorrow. Have you ever had any joy? Spiritual joy, I mean. Oh, you know, when you have spiritual joy, believe me, the tears, they roll down your face. You have such joy within your soul. It's not the happiness like the world has, oh no. It's not laughter. It's not being gay, so. It humbles a person. And all that person could wash himself in his tears. Odd, isn't it? You would say, is that joy? Oh, had we but that every day of our life, my hearers. It's a mercy to have a humbled and a broken and a contrite heart under a feeling sense of God's love and favor to our souls. Oh, what a mercy, too, to be brought in guilty, to be a sinner in the sight of God. Oh, to cry because we sin against such a good God, such a merciful God. You know anything of these things, my hearers? Joy and sorrow are the life of a Christian. May you experience it for his name's sake. That's all for today.